Blog Talk Radio.
It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish shame.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports of Mount Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, Will. How's it going?
I'm doing good, man. Glad to, you know, be with you during this holiday season. How's everything?
Good, man. Good. Just trying to stay warm in this cold weather here.
I hear you, man. Luckily for our teams, you know, we got the hot stove warming up for both Mets and Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll definitely get into that. It's been a crazy sports week in New York, baseball-wise. You know, the Mets getting Verlander, signing Kodai Senga, re-signing Nimmo. Yankees re-signing Judge and signing Carlos Rodon. You know, we're going to get into that. Talk about the Jets and the Giants. As you know, they continue to push for their playoff spots. We'll talk about that. Talk WWE, AEW, you know, whatever's on, you know, on our minds and most importantly, your guys' minds. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you guys want to talk any of these topics or any topics, period, feel free to call our show. You know, we talk sports and entertainment and everything else. So, feel free to give us a call. Let your voice be heard. But yeah, with that said, yeah, man, Christmas came early for both New York teams, especially the Mets. Mets re-signed Justin Verlander, obviously, you know, days after DeGrom took his talents to Texas, signed with the Rangers because of their quote-unquote plan for winning as opposed to the Mets. Well, I guess the Mets aren't planning on trying to win a World Series, apparently, according to Jacob DeGrom's press conference. Signed arguably the, you know, the best pitcher in the American League, you know, winning the Cy Young Award, Justin Verlander. I think he won, what was his record? 18-5, I think, with a 1.75 ERA. So obviously, you know, losing DeGrom is a hit. You know, in my opinion, DeGrom, you know, when healthy, he's the best pitcher in baseball. And then, you know, second behind, and I've been saying this for years, man, DeGrom number one, Scherzer number two, Verlander number three, and then I would put, what's his name, Garrett Cole, number four. And, hey, we couldn't keep DeGrom. DeGrom didn't want to come here, but, hey, you know, it's a nice consolation prize having the, in my opinion, the second best and third best pitchers in baseball, you know, wearing the orange and blue. And then, you know, they signed Kodai Senga, who was an ace in Japan, pitching, what, five or six, I think he won five Japanese, you know, the Japanese series. You know, he's been an ace. He has that upside to be, you know, be an ace. Epler was raving about him even before they signed him. Like, there was a reporter asking him, like, a few weeks ago, what can you say about Kodai Senga? And he was saying, he's a very good pitcher. And he's smiling. This is not even his guy yet. And then the reporter asked him, can you say more? He said, he's a very, very good player. So, I mean, and Billy Epler is not a guy who's a smiling type of person, especially when he's talking about, you know, free agents. You know, he's usually, you know, play by the book. You know, we can't discuss. We're going after all this stuff. But he was just raving about the guy. So, you know, had they not signed him, you know, that would have been a mess. You know, that would have been messed up. And another thing is, Epler has experience signing Japanese players, as you know, Mac. He, when he was assistant GM for the Yankees, he scouted Tanaka. When he was a GM with the Angels, he signed Shohei Ohtani. And now, you know, he signed Senga, and hopefully this will lure Ohtani to come to the Mets next year if he becomes a free agent as planned. And yeah, the Mets, they made some, you know, other moves. They signed Jose Quintana, who was, you know, arguably the best pitcher for the Cardinals last year. You know, they signed David Robertson, you know, your former setup man, you know, when you guys won the title, player as well, in 09. They signed Omir Navarez, who could be a backup catcher for the Mets or maybe a starter if they feel Alvarez is not ready yet, which I hope Alvarez starts and him and Nito is the backup catcher, and this will signal the end for James McCann to get traded out of here. But as much as I'd like to see James McCann get traded, the guy who I don't think they should trade is Carlos Carrasco. Because this guy, he pitched, he won 15 games. When healthy, he's historically he's an injury prone type pitcher, but when healthy, he's always a great pitcher, a great character guy. I would definitely say I hope they keep him, you know. And if you keep Carrasco, and you know, Senga lives up to the hype, you have arguably the best pitching rotation in baseball. I mean, but the most important thing is, you know, as the Mets knew with DeGrom all these years, you know, Verlander and Scherzer has to stay healthy. And, you know, the Detroit Tiger fans know that all too well when those guys were in their prime, you know. But, yeah, these guys, you know, they got to stay healthy. So, yeah, we definitely will see what happened with that. Hopefully the Mets will make some more moves in the bullpen, re-sign Anavino, hopefully. Maybe sign Kimbrel or Chafin. I mean, if it was up to me, I'd sign all three, to be honest with you. But, you know, we'll see what happened with that, you know, with the Mets. The Mets still need to improve their offense, you know. Whether it's, you know, Conforto or, well, J.D. Davis signed with the Dodgers today, so that's out of the question. Yeah, I'm trying to think who they could possibly sign. I mean, Nelson Cruz is out there too, but I don't think they'd want to sign a guy who's exclusively a DH. Dansby Swanson, he left the Braves and signed with the Cubs.
Correa. I heard about that today.
Yeah, Correa, the Mets was interested in signing him in the last minute, but by the time they were, you know, they were interested in him, apparently, you know, he was very deep in negotiations with the Giants, you know, before they, you know, when they try to go after him, which would have been the X factor for the Mets, because right now, like my complaint with the, you know, with the Yankees, you know, I guess switching gears to the Yankees, is that Yankees had to resign. They had to resign Judge, just like the Mets had to resign Nimmo, which they did. They gave him an 8-year, 162 contract. It was necessary. It was necessary that the Mets had to resign Nimmo, and the Yankees had to sign Judge. Barring if these guys didn't want to be here, which we both knew those guys. They are, you know, those are, you know, very loyal type players for their respective teams. So,
Mets needed to sign DeGrom. That's the big guy they needed to sign.
Well, yeah, they needed. Yeah, I agree with you. I was saying that all season. I was saying it all season long in the off season that the Mets had to sign DeGrom, but he didn't want to be here. There's, I mean, you can't force a guy to sign on the contract. So. You know, yeah, I 100% agree with you that DeGrom was the number one guy I wanted the Mets to sign, but he didn't want to sign. He didn't even give them a chance to give them a counteroffer. And then there's a rumor I think I read yesterday, DeGrom explicitly told his agent or agents not to talk to the Mets. So, I mean. Based on the actions that he did, it looks like, I mean, that the rumor is true. I mean, I don't know 100% if it's true or not, but with all the stuff that happened, it looked like he really wanted out of New York, even though we treated him like a king, you know, over in New York City.
I heard that he didn't want to participate in a lot of the off-the-field activities the Mets
had.
Yeah,
I heard that too.
You know, he's a guy that likes to keep to himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's messed up.
Yeah.
You know, I always thought of him.
That's what I told you. That's why I told you that the Mets need to stop these family day and kitty activities that they do. This stuff is sometimes it's unnecessary.
We have a fan base. You know, we have fan base of diehard fans. We have fan bases of, you know, kids. You know. Attracting the kids to be future Mets fans. Cohen's doing right now is attracting, you know, young Mets fans to, you know, to be excited and you know, become, you know, baseball fans for the first time and you know, Mets fans, you know, because I've been complaining for 20. I've been complaining for like 20 plus years that the Mets have to, you know, make moves. They can't just let Yankees sign all these guys and expect, you know, the new kids, you know, who we're seeing the Yankees win, you know, win titles at that time period, you know, and then the Mets are just twiddling their thumbs, not doing anything. But thank God, you know, with Steve Cohen, you know, the Mets are now in a metamorphic New York state of mind. So now the sky's the limit for the Mets. You know, they're spending the money. They have a diehard fan in Steve Cohen, who's doing a service for the fans. You know, he's losing money, but he's playing a great product, which ultimately will make him make money if the Mets are successful, and God willing, wins the World Series next year or in the very near future. He's gonna make the money back because the fans, Mets fans, like I always said, man. And yes, I'm biased, but I think the Mets fans are the best baseball fans on the planet. So we needed a owner like that who's passionate about winning. That's gonna put a championship caliber team on the field. But you know, it's paper. We have to stay healthy because, you know, this year was, you know, is evident. It don't matter how many games you win in the regular season. It's how many games you win in the postseason that matters. So hopefully the Mets can put a championship caliber team and win it all.
You know, going back to DeGrom, I think DeGrom got tired of Family Day. I mean, even K-Rod got tired. I mean, he assaulted his wife on Family Day.
I think it was his father-in-law or baby mama's father, something like that.
Oh, well, yeah. So that just shows you that, you know, Mets might just need to eliminate Family Day once and for all.
No, they do not need to eliminate Family Day. I'm glad they finally did Old Timers Day, which was a long overdue, you know. So, yeah, you know, Mets got to, you know, continue to do stuff that the Mets fans want to see. Old Timers Day, Banner Day, you know, give out free promotion, stuff like that. You know, just and most importantly, you know, show respect to the fans and the players of the past. And the Mets, you know, they've been, ever since Cohen has signed, you know, has bought the team, they're moving in the right direction. You know, they're retiring numbers, they're honoring players. I mean, you have I'm trying to remember, Ray Knight pop up, and the Mets under Wilpon's leadership never even asked him to come back to the Mets, and he was the World Series MVP, you know, in '86, and they just, you know, abandoned him. But you know, the Mets, you know, they're moving in the right direction, and ultimately they gotta win it all. They gotta keep the core. They gotta extend, give Alonso a contract extension. I mean, he's arbitration eligible, I think, in a few years. And of course, extend McNeil too down the line. So all in all, you know, I like what the Mets are doing, but you know, it's not over yet. They definitely still need to solidify the bullpen. So if they could get, you know, like I said, Kimbrel, re-sign out of Vino, Chafin, somebody like that, you know, a combination of those guys are in a perfect world, all three. Like, they need to solidify this bullpen, you know. And then on the Yankees side, you know, they re-sign Aaron Judge. And then, of course, they signed Rodon. I think that's the move I'm more impressed with, because Aaron Judge, that was a necessity. They had, if they didn't sign Aaron Judge, this offseason would be an F for me. Or well, I guess if signing Rodon, I guess you could give him a D. You know, because Rodon is
a D.
Yeah, if you guys didn't re-sign Judge and let him go to the Giants, and you just signed Rodon, I would say this offseason would have been a D for you guys.
Oh yeah, well we're not done yet. I mean, there's more.
Of course,
you know,
of course.
There's more signing. I'm even hearing that they might even try to trade for Tatis, Fernando Tatis.
I'm not surprised.
That would be a big trade if that did happen.
I believe it.
Man,
you never count the Yankees out.
Yeah, that'd be big for us if we did. But we'll see.
Hey, maybe you guys even might even get Soto.
Who knows? Who knows?
You might get both.
Yeah,
you might even get Jason Giambi out of retirement too.
You never know.
Who knows?
You never know. But I like this Rodon signing.
Oh yeah.
I think he's gonna be a good fit. I mean, him, Cole, Cortez, Severino. That's gonna be a great pitching staff.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they can hold up. You know. Not have any injuries, but I think we need to address the hitting. You know, we need more contact hitters. Hope we can re-sign, what's his name again?
No. He signed with the White Sox yesterday.
Oh, man, did he? I didn't even hear that. Damn.
Yeah, 5-year deal.
Wow. You see, that would have been huge if we had gotten
Yeah. I would have liked them, the Mets, to sign him too, but,
man.
You know.
Oh, we still got LeMahieu.
Mm-hmm.
So. But yeah, damn. I know we lost him. Damn.
Yeah, he signed with the White Sox, like out of nowhere. 5-year deal.
Wow.
Was it $75 million? I don't remember the amount.
Wow, okay. Well, then we gotta look elsewhere.
Maybe Conforto.
Hey, maybe.
Conforto and Yankee Stadium. I've been saying this for years. I've been literally saying this for you on this show. Like, if the Mets don't re-sign Conforto and let him become a free agent, he's going to end up being with the Yankees. Or if they trade him to the Yankees, you know, I always thought that was the scenario. And I literally think that's what's going to happen.
Well, if he does, that'd be great. I'm hearing Marlins and Rangers are top candidates right now at the moment.
And then Mets is one of the candidates also, but I don't think he's going to sign with the Mets. I mean, what's his name? Boris's agent was saying basically during the Nimmo press conference that that Conforto is going to try to sign a short-term deal, you know. And basically, what was I going to say? During the Nimmo press conference, apparently he also called Steve Cohen Steve Kong because he's saying like he's like King Kong taking over the city. So yeah, and I don't know if you heard when Boris negotiated the deal with Rodon for the Yankees, he was signing him during at Fenway Park.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, because the Red Sox, he was there for the Red Sox press conference for that Japanese player, Yoshi something, Yoshida or something. Let me see what the name is.
I know.
I forgot the name. Yeah, I think he's a hitter.
Yeah, Japanese hitter.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember his. Yeah, let me see what his name is over here. Masataka Yoshida. Back to the Mets briefly. You know, the single signing is huge because, you know, the Mets they haven't had a good Japanese player probably since Shinjo. You know, they really need to, you know, attract that market, you know, any market really. I mean, they do well in the Latin, you know, players development stuff, but there've been more misses with their Japanese signings, you know.
Yeah.
And if they had them, they haven't had them for years. I mean, they've had Nomo. I think they had who else did they had? They had this guy Satoru Koremiyama, who was supposed to be like, I think, the Japanese Nolan Ryan, but the most memorable thing he did was give up a home run to Robin Ventura in that Subway Series. I don't know if you remember that moment.
Yeah, of course. Who could forget?
or Dae-Sung Koo, who was supposed to be like a reliever for the Mets, but his only memorable moment is that he got a hit off Randy Johnson. And I think it was 2005 that happened. But yeah, Mets have been hit and miss, you know, when it more misses than hits. And then of course Kaz Matsui.
Oh yeah, my favorite.
Yeah, I know you love Matsui. You love
Kaz Matsui
even
yeah.
more than Hideki.
Yeah, Kaz Matsui, can't forget him.
Oh man, my goodness. So yeah, Mets really need to hit a home run with this pick right here, and then hopefully. If they could get Lord Otani, I mean, they'd be really cooking with gas right here. But
yeah.
We shall see. We shall see if Senga, you know, can, you know, adjust to the major league pitching after pitching in Japan for like 11 years. So he's the X factor on this rotation. All right. So, yeah, shifting gears. The Knicks, man, like the Knicks won six in a row. I mean, they swept
break
the
up
Bulls.
The Knicks.
I know, break up the Knicks, man. They break them up after June or July. After, you know, there's a parade, which
yeah.
I doubt that'll happen. They'll break them up yet. But I'm impressed. I mean, I don't know what's going on in MSG, they're having 90s-itis because the Rangers are winning six in a row. The Knicks are winning six in a row. Like, am I a kid again? Like, what's going on here?
It feels like they were back in the 90s.
For real. So, yeah, man, they got to keep it going. I mean, Randall is playing well. I mean, there was that game he had, like, 27 points in the first half, but he got himself ejected. You know, because he got heated with the refs, but to his credit, he admitted that he was wrong, you know, to get himself ejected, and you know, to his credit, he's been playing better. He hasn't been, you know, getting ejected or arguing with the refs as he's known to do. So he's actually taken, you know, more of a leadership role, and especially with Brunson, you know. Shouldering the load, you know. Randall's having a pretty good year so far.
Yeah, I mean, the Knicks during the streak, they've been playing very well, you know, and they've been shooting very well, too. And Brunson, you know, he's been the X factor, you know, during that streak. Well, during the whole season, you know. He makes a big difference. Makes a big difference when you have a point guard who distributes the ball and can score. And I think he's been helping these guys a lot. And Barrett is starting to play a bit better during this streak as well. You know, he was struggling a bit earlier in the season, but he's come on as of late. We have to strengthen our bench a bit. You know, I wish Thibodeau would play Reddish more because Reddish was playing well when he's getting minutes. Now he's been buried to the bench along with Fournier. So I think we have to give these guys some more playing time off the bench, you know, because our stars are going to burn out if we keep, you know, having them run up and down the court for 48 minutes, you know. We got to get some of these other guys involved.
Yeah. And I heard that if Fournier gets traded to the Lakers, he's going to change his name.
Really?
Did you hear that?
No.
He's thinking of changing his name from Evan Fournier to Fournier West. Let's hope that happens.
Fournier West.
Let's hope that happens. Because this guy, he's wasting a roster spot on the team. So,
or if Cam Reddish gets traded to the Lakers, he'll change his name to Camier West.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. it's possible.
I don't want to trade Reddish though, man. I think he still has potential.
Yeah.
I don't know why you don't want to give him minutes. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
The guy, when he's given minutes, he can play.
Yeah, and plus he has that connection with
RJ Barrett. Yeah.
I don't think you should give up on him. You know?
Yeah, I know his defense is lacking, but still, I mean.
He's on the Knicks. What do you expect?
Yeah. Although the Knicks have been playing better team defense.
Yeah. Yeah, I think four of their last six games, they've held their opponents under 100, if my memory serves me right. So they have been playing a lot better.
They have. And they're now in the fourth spot or sixth spot, something like that?
I think last time I checked, they were on the sixth. Let me check right now as we're speaking.
Yeah, they're probably in the sixth spot, but, you know, it could move up.
Yeah.
16, 15 or 16 and 13, something like that.
Yeah, they're in the sixth spot. They're 16 and 13 as we speak.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. Celtics lead is 22 and 8. Bucks is 21 and 8. Cavs with Donovan Mitchell, don't remind me. 20 and 11. Nets is 18 and 12 because they've bounced back as well. They've won 5 in a row. The 76ers 10 and 12. And then we're 16 and 13. So hopefully we can keep winning and stay out of the play-in game. Because the play-in game is the equivalent of the wild card, that new wild card series in baseball.
Yeah, well, it's still early, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely early. Yeah, hopefully the Knicks can keep this going.
Yeah.
Let's see. So far, during this run, they beat the Pistons. They did beat the Pistons, but that's not the Wells. No, actually, their streak started with them beating the Cavs, the Hawks, the Hornets, the Kings. And then the Bulls twice these last couple of games here. So now they're gonna host they're gonna go on the road against the Pacers tomorrow afternoon, and then they're host they're gonna host the Warriors on Tuesday night, and then Wednesday night they're gonna play against the Raptors. At home, at MSG. Friday night they're gonna host the Bulls again. Man, we were just facing the Bulls all the time.
Yeah,
we're facing them more times than we did in the 90s in the playoffs.
Wow. Really?
My goodness,
feels like that.
Every game, hopefully it'll be the same result. And then Christmas time, we're gonna be facing the Bulls again. It feels like it. 76ers. We're going to be playing the 76ers at noon in MSG. So, yeah. And then I guess after that, 27th is the go to Dallas against the Mavericks. The 29th, we battle the Spurs in San Antonio. And then Christmas Eve, we'll be battling the Hornets in Houston. So, yeah, basically we're going to wrap up the season with the two teams that beat us in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
In 99 and 94. But, yeah, then hopefully the Knicks can keep the streak going. And then with the Nets, man, they're playing well as well. I think Durant had the game winning shot to win the game yesterday. Final score 119 to 116. Durant, he scored 28 points, and Kyrie Irving had 32 points. And basically, that helped them get the victory in Toronto against the Raptors.
And Nets are playing better.
Mm-hmm. Fred VanVleet, he scored 39 points in a losing effort for the Raptors. And Scotty Barnes also had 26. So, yeah, the Nets, yeah, they've been playing a lot better as well. They beat the Hornets. They beat the Hawks. Yeah, both New York teams beat up on the Hawks lately. The Pacers, which hopefully will do that today, or I should say tomorrow. The Wizards, and then of course the Raptors yesterday. So then to wrap up this year, Nets will go against Detroit. In Detroit, they're going to be battling. They're going to host the Warriors on the 21st, host the Bucks on the 23rd. Go to Cleveland to battle the Cavaliers on the 26th. 28th, they go to Atlanta to face the Hawks. And then New Year's Eve, they're going to be in Charlotte to battle the Hornets. So, yeah, the Nets look like they righted their ship right now. So,
yeah, it looks like they're playing, they're living up to the potential.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing like the team that everyone expected them to be. Even Ben Simmons has been playing better, so look out. That's they're rising up to the top spot. Although I still think the Celtics are the team to beat in the East right now. The Celtics are a bit better, and Tatum looking like the MVP of the season so far.
Yeah, man, he can't be stopped, man.
Yep.
But, yeah, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You know, the show, we started the show in the holiday season. We played that classic, Do You Know It's Christmas? And coming up, we'll play another Christmas holiday classic. And that's going to be... The group that sang the Do You Know It's Christmas is Band-Aid with all those singers from the 80s, Paul Young, George Michaels, you know, the list goes on. But right now we're going to, I don't know what you're going to do. Do you know what you're going to do this Christmas, Mac?
We're going to spend time with family, have a family dinner for Christmas, open up some presents, give us some presents. So, yeah, it'll just be some family time.
You? Yeah, likewise. I'm going to do the same as well, you know, hang out with my family as well.
Yeah.
So you have an idea what you're going to do this Christmas, but maybe this song will make you refresh your memory of what you did last Christmas with who I am. So we'll be right back after this message. what's up? Welcome back to Sports Urban Legend. I'm with your co-host, William Mamo and Macaulay Matthew. And, of course, that was Last Christmas from George Michael. And now we're going to move to the gridiron, football. Obviously, Giants, they have the Giants, they're going to be playing tomorrow against, the Washington Commanders. You excited for that game?
This is going to be a must-win game because whoever wins this is most likely going to – well, whoever loses this game is most likely going to be eliminated from the playoff picture. So in order for us to stay alive in this playoff picture, we have to win this game tomorrow. We ended up tying with the Washington Commanders the last time we saw them a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. That cannot happen again tomorrow. So this is a must-win game. This is going to be like a playoff game tomorrow for both teams. So hopefully the Giants can come on, they can play better because the last month and a half, the Giants have not been playing well at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they started the season, 7-1 or something like that? Or 6-1, something like that. And
now
they've lost
4. 1-4-1 in the last couple of games, while the Commanders are going the opposite direction. They've won four out of their last 6 with a 4-1-1 record also. So they're literally going opposite direction. So something's got to get.
Yeah. So Giants, they got to play better. They have not been doing that, over the last month or so. So tomorrow they have to play like they're playing earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm.
It's a do or die game tomorrow.
Yep, and they're expecting Leonard Williams to come back, even though he's questionable due to his neck injury. So that could boost the Giants defense right there.
Yeah, definitely. A big game. We'll see.
I think your boys will rise up to the occasion, but we shall
see.
Let's
hope so. I mean, last time we didn't. So let's hope so. Our offense will be a little bit better. Our defense will be playing much better this time around, and we can come out with a W. If not, then, our playoff hope will be pretty much gone.
And then on the other team in the Meadowlands, my Jets, they're going to be hosting the Lions in MetLife Stadium. And, Zach Wilson is going to start again because Mike White, this guy was like a crash test dummy the last game. He looked like he got his ribs broken and they just kept tackling him, an injury. And then he came back. He pulled off almost a Willis Reed-like performance coming back after he was, seriously injured. And but unfortunately the Jets couldn't come back. They had two tough losses in a row. Mike White, kept them in the game in both games, but the Jets, they lost these last two games. In football and in sports, there's no such thing as a moral victory. So the fans were very the fans and, of course, the players, they were very pleased with Mike White's performance. He has that never say die attitude. Like, this guy looked like JR said, "My God, he's been broken in half." But this guy, man, he still played, and there was players who literally seek them out to tell them how much they love him, and they enjoy playing for him. That's their quarterback. Because this dude, he literally didn't give up. But yeah, he rightfully so, even though he's been playing well for the Jets, you know, he got the injury, so you know he's not getting the clearance to play, which you know you gotta protect the guy, you know, make sure he's okay, you know, because you don't want what happened to Tua with the Dolphins, you know, you're rushing him back and you know he's dealing with the consequences of him, you know. He dealt with the consequences of him, you know, rushing himself back on the field too early. So make sure hopefully he doesn't have anything serious and, you know, he'll be able to bounce back. So this is Zach Wilson's redemption game right here, you know, because Robert Saleh has been saying, you know, after the demotion of Wilson, that he's gonna start again this year, and now that start is today, or I should say, later today. I mean tomorrow, I should say, because we're like 5 minutes away from midnight, so it's still technically tomorrow. But this is Wilson's game to redeem himself. So hopefully he can do that going one on one against Goff.
We'll see.
And the Detroit Lions, so we shall see.
We'll see, because Wilson's decision-making has not been good this year.
No, it has not.
So he needs to play much better out there and make better decisions, you know. I mean, White has been playing great the last few weeks. You know, it looks like a different offense with him on the field. As opposed to Zach Wilson, where the offense is stagnant sometimes. So hopefully they don't revert back to that with Wilson, but we'll see. Maybe his time on the bench has changed Wilson, and maybe he will try to redeem himself now.
Hopefully so. We shall see. Time will tell.
Yeah.
But yeah, before we shift over to wrestling, I think we're gonna take just a quick break right now and play some music right here. All I want for Christmas is seeing the Mets and Knicks win a championship in the near future. But since I can't have it this year, why not play Mariah Carey's "All I Want for Christmas"? We'll be right back.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the present underneath the Christmas tree. My wish come true.
what's up? Welcome back to Sports Urban Legend, the holiday edition of Sports Urban Legend. Well, I'm back again. Of course, I'm with my mole and Macaulay. Matthew is on the other line as well. And, yeah, let's go right into wrestling. AEW.
Mm-hmm. Oh, AEW, sorry.
AEW and WWE. Yeah, the biggest things that happened in AEW was there's this new guy who debuted. His name is Action Andretti, and he went one-on-one against Chris Jericho. I don't know if you heard about this match, but he pulled off a one and beat him. And as a result, he is he's now part of AEW now. Basically, what happened was Chris Jericho went for the Walls of Jericho, but then Andretti blocked it, and then he did a running shooting star press to pin Jericho. Because AEW had the Winter is Coming event that they have. And, yeah, that was the major thing that happened. The recap, Triangle defeated the Elite to go 3-1 because they're having a best of seven series, like if it's a baseball or basketball or hockey. So it's the elite, you know, they're down 3-1, and if you remember, they were in that fight, the real life fight with CM Punk behind the scenes, and so far in their first four matches that they've had, they've been trailing 3-1. So now they're facing elimination in this series. Jungle Boy defeated Brian Cage. House of Black defeated The Factory. Action Andretti defeated Chris Jericho, which I just mentioned. Ruby Soho defeated Ty Mello, and MJF defeated Ricky Starks to retain the AEW World Championship. And Ricky Starks, man, he had a last week he had a great promo against MJF. Basically, you know, talking about his life story and how, you know, he to make a long story short, that he was going to win the title. But unfortunately, for Ricky Starks, that wasn't the case. Because obviously, you know, MJF retained the title.
Exciting stuff.
And, he basically was dissing on Ricky Stark, saying that he's the Pebble, because he's saying he's a copycat of The Rock. They both cut a great promo on each other, you know. And Ricky Starks, you know, he basically, you know, spoke about the importance of that match and how he's going to whip his behind. But fortunately for him, that didn't come to pass. But you know, shifting gears back to WWE, and
Raw.
Yeah, Raw. I was trying to remember what happened on Raw.
Looks like Alexa Bliss might be.
Oh yeah, right.
Again,
because she almost did the Sister Abigail on Bianca Belair when she was,
yeah,
you know, congratulating her after the match. Once when that Firefly, that upside down Firefly sign popped up.
Yep.
And you know, that it turned her into, it hypnotized her.
Yeah.
So it looks like, you know, the rumors is that she's going to return back to Bray, you know. even though she betrayed him the last time they were together, just before he got fired from WWE. So, but what was I gonna say? Someone who should join his faction should be Nikki Cross too.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
I think Nikki Cross fits his group. His group more than Alexa Bliss does.
Yeah, Alexa Bliss, yeah. I agree. I 100% agree.
Hopefully they do that. The Usos, they defeated Matt Riddle and Kevin Owens to retain the Undisputed Tag Team Championship. Bayley defeated Asuka and Rhea Ripley in a triple threat match to advance to the number one contenders match. Austin Theory defeats Mustafa Ali to retain the United States Championship. The OC defeated Alpha Academy and Baron Corbin. Dominic defeated Akira Tozawa. Alexa Bliss defeated Nikki Cross and Becky Lynch in a triple threat match to advance to the number one contenders match next week. So it'll be Bliss versus Bayley to determine who's going to Bianca Belair. And I'm
that
guessing after, yeah, definitely be interested indeed. But I guess with what they're teasing, it looks like Alexa Bliss is going to win that number one contenders match.
Yeah, it looks like it.
And then on
SmackDown.
Yes, SmackDown. We had a surprise return, but I guess before we get to that, I'll give you the results. Damage Control defeated Liv Morgan and Tegan Nox to retain the women's tag team championships. Gunter defeated Ricochet to retain the Intercontinental Championship. And Hit Row defeated Legado della Fantasma Viking and the Viking Raiders in a triple threat tag team match. Yeah, this has to be the biggest win for Hit Row since they left NXT before they got released.
Yeah.
And returned. And then last but not least, you had Kevin Owens reveal that, actually it wasn't really Kevin Owens, but, WWE revealed that John Cena is going to be tag teaming with Kevin Owens. And, of course, who made that big announcement was John Cena himself. In a surprise appearance at the end of SmackDown, when they were going to coronate Sami Zayn, as an official USO member. But as a result, next SmackDown is going to be, the last SmackDown, I think it is. The last SmackDown of the year is going to be Kevin Owens and John Cena, former rivals, teaming up against Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn in a tag team match. Yeah, that should be interesting.
That's gonna be a match. That should be a good match to end the year out.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing Cena back, because if Cena did not wrestle, he would go. This would be the first year.
Mm-hmm.
Without him wrestling any match.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
So this will be the first time in many months that we'll see John Cena wrestling
since last year.
Yeah.
Wanted to keep the streak going of competing at least a match.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. And then, on the NXT side, a shocking release, WWE, they released Mandy Moore. Mandy Rose. Mandy Moore. Yeah, that's the singer. But, Mandy Rose, even though she was the reigning champion for over 400 years, 400
days.
400 days. My goodness. Yeah, for 400 over 400 days, and congratulations to Roxanne Perez for defeating her on NXT. But the shocking thing is that after that, the next day they fired Mandy Rose, and then they found out it was revealed that Mandy Rose has a bit of a controversy on her hands, which led to them releasing her. So yeah, man, it's a shame that she was a fan favorite, and they let her go. And then they rushed, the title reign. Because normally they would have had a title reign like that in a pay-per-view event.
Yeah, it sucks. I like Mandy Rose. And I think superstars should have, if they want to have their own side business and make money and post whatever images they want, they should have the freedom to do so.
Apparently, the reason why they did that, in addition to that, is because apparently she was making more money on the side than with them, and they wanted to, have, since they have creative control on her image and everything else, they didn't.
I don't think it was making money on the side. I think it's because she's posting those risque images.
Well, yeah, cost that her, too.
But the money aspect of it, that shouldn't be a factor because, I don't know how these WWE superstars are contract workers. So at the end of the day,
according to WWE,
if they want to make money on the side, that's their business. WWE shouldn't have a say in that.
Yeah, it's just a mess of way how her career ended.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar to what they did with what's her name again? I'm trying to remember her name. She's with Legado del Fantasma. I'm trying to think. What's her name again? Zelina Vega.
Yeah.
Zelina Vega
was rehired.
Yeah, she got rehired. Yeah. But they got rid of her because she wanted to form a union and do something similar, but not to that extent. But so maybe there might be hope for her to return somewhere down the line.
Hopefully.
But
I gotta subscribe to that Fan Time. I gotta remember to do that.
But with that said, anything else you'd like to say before we head out?
Other than subscribe to Mandy Rose's Fan Time. Check out local listings for my show and come back here. Check out Sports Every Legend every Saturdays at 11, only on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, man. Thank you, Mac, for coming on the show. I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming on the show. Hope you guys enjoyed this holiday season. I hope you guys have a Merry Christmas, very happy holiday, and a wonderful new year coming up in January. So he's McCauley Matthew. I'm Moy Ramo, and I'll see you guys next time.
Neighborhood, and it's fun, always on the run. spirits up. We're here tonight, and that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The party's on, the feeling's here. That only comes this time of year. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The choir of children sing their song. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding. Right, the spirit's up, we're here tonight.